Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to our new morning service. It's great to see everyone here sort of packed together. I do see a little clump at the start where it seems a bit empty, but I think that's where the kids vacated. But it is great that we can come together. It's been exciting, I guess, as we've been talking about merging for a while. And it will be exciting to see how God grows us, to see new relationships being built. And I pray that God will use us even more to reach out to the people around us. And so can I encourage you to keep praying for Barneys, to jump in there and just say hi to each other, especially as we mix and mingle. And it'll take a few months to get the hang of things maybe and to try to start learning each other's names. It might be 3 months and you still don't know everyone's names. That's where name tags are going to be useful. But that's okay. And that is us together. We've been one church for a while here at Barneys, but now we actually get to see each other. And we get to live that out week by week. Let me pray as we start off, as we look at Ecclesiastes. I'm going to pray for us as a congregation together, and then we're going to get into God's word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we give you thanks and praise that you are a gracious God. We thank you for the way that you've called us to be your people, to be one church. We, Lord, pray that you'll continue to grow us, help us to grow in relationships with each other, to grow in our relationship with you, and that we can reach out to more and more people with the gospel. We pray for this time now that as we look at the book of Ecclesiastes, that you might speak to our hearts and minds. Help us, Lord, to be ready to hear you speak, and Lord, that as you do so, as you speak to us, give us hearts and minds that are willing to obey. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I'm just going to grab the clicker. Okay, so I'm going to control it from the front, Chris. Let me ask you that question. What is the meaning of life? What is the meaning of your life? Now, that's a question that Ecclesiastes has been asking as we've been working our way through this book over the past 7 weeks. What is life all about? What is the meaning of life? What are we doing here? Now, there's all sorts of different ways that we can answer that question. According to Malcolm Forbes, he who dies with the most toys wins. He who dies with the most toys wins. Is that what life is about? Now, I suspect that most of us, we're not as crude as that. We actually might live that out, but if we were to actually give a conscious answer, we would say maybe it's family, having rich relationships, wanting our kids to grow up and to do well and to be successful. Maybe it's the fact that we want to leave the world a better place than we found it. Maybe it's about being kind. For the Douglas Adams fans, the meaning of life is 42. And there's a website which actually expounds why it is the number 42. If you haven't read the book, that's supposed to be a bit of a joke. The meaning of life is a number. The phrase that keeps coming up more frequently, I think, nowadays is living your best life, whatever that means. Is that what life is about? Now, one of the words that keeps coming up in the book of Ecclesiastes is meaningless, meaningless. It's there in chapter 12, verse 8. It comes up 5 times. The word meaningless, it means a vapor, a breath. It's fleeting. Just when you think you get hold of what life is about, it disappears and it slips through your fingers. It's like a vapor, it's a cloud of smoke. And so chapter 12, verse 8, that was read out for us, it actually forms the bookend of chapter 1, verse 2. If you remember 7 weeks ago, it's actually describing in some ways a summary of what Ecclesiastes is saying. Meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher, everything is meaningless. And along the way, over the past few weeks, Ecclesiastes has been taking us on a guided search, trying to work out what life is about. It's tackled the question from every angle. It's looked at pleasure and wealth and wisdom, achievement, time and power. And every time it looks at one of those things, the conclusion is that life under the sun, life, if God doesn't speak to us, life is meaningless. Now, the whole book of Ecclesiastes has actually been challenging us. I was talking to somebody from the 9 o'clock service. They've been saying they've been really enjoying the book of Ecclesiastes. We don't go through it very often. But at the same time, I think for a lot of us, it's quite confronting. It's quite depressing in some ways. But what Ecclesiastes is doing is challenging us to loosen our attachment to the things of this world, not to be so close, not to hold on to them so tightly, and I want to replace it with something richer, something far grander, something far more satisfying. And you'll be glad to know, as we look at Ecclesiastes chapter 12, we finally arrive at what that something is. By the end of this chapter, we'll see, here is the meaning of life. But before we actually get there, we're going to work our way through chapter 11, chapter 12. It'd be great if you've got your Bibles open in front of you. We're going to be looking through the book of Ecclesiastes, these next couple of chapters. If somebody's got it open, can you yell out the number so that we can see it on the pew Bible? It's 546. So grab a pew Bible, open up on your phones if you got it. As we look through these chapters, we're going to see three things. Be bold in the face of uncertainty. Remember God before it's too late. And then last of all, we'll get to the answer to that question, why are we here? What is life all about? And so first of all, be bold in the face of uncertainty. And that's an encouragement for us because the world that we live in, it is uncertain. You watch the weather forecast, and they'll say one thing, but who knows if it's really going to happen. They said today it's more than likely that it's going to rain. When I last checked outside, I didn't see a cloud in the sky. Maybe it will, maybe it won't. It's a bit of a guess. Life is uncertain. When it comes to the share market, is it going to go up tomorrow or is it going to go down tomorrow? Or a few days ago, the chances of being struck by lightning is less than one in a million, which is no comfort to the three people who were killed by lightning just on Thursday. Life is full of uncertainties. For all our technology and science and understanding, the world is full of uncertainty. It's not in our control. We don't know what's going to happen. And not knowing, that can cripple us. Sometimes we can freeze. Should I do this? Should I do that? We become indecisive when we end up doing nothing. And the teacher in Ecclesiastes, he actually gives us some good advice. Now, remember what we said a few weeks ago. Ecclesiastes doesn't just tear things down. It actually builds things up. Sometimes it'll be destructive, but sometimes it's constructive. And here, Ecclesiastes, it builds us up. It gives us good advice. Take a look at chapter 11, verse 1. Chapter 11, verse 1, it says, ship your grain across the sea. After many days, you may receive a return. Now, what is the teacher saying there? What's he talking about? He's saying that you might be sending your grain away on a ship. And you might be thinking to yourself, the ship is going to sink. It might sink. But then again, maybe it won't. And if it doesn't, you'll make a big profit. Go for it. Be bold. Verse 2, invest in 7 ventures, yes, in 8. In other words, spread your risk. You don't know what's going to happen. Maybe there's a disaster. And so spread your risk, have a go, be bold. Now, there are some things that you have absolutely no control over. In verse 3, if a cloud is full of water, it's going to rain. You can't stop it. Where a tree falls, that's where it's going to lie. But whoever watches the wind, in verse 4, they won't plant. And so stop looking at the clouds. Stop trying to get everything perfect. There's things that you won't understand. Leave that to God. And so verse 6, sow your seed in the morning, and at evening, don't let your hands be idle. For you do not know which will succeed, whether this or that, or whether both will do equally well. You see what he's saying here? Don't let uncertainty cripple you. Be bold in life and leave the part of being God, leave that up to God. Now, we can do that with everyday decisions. Do we buy this house or do we buy that one? Do I take this job or do I take that job? Do I send my kids to this school or to that school? Now, we try to work out what are some principles that come out of the Bible. But then sometimes what we need to do is just to go for it. We won't know all the answers, but trust God. Sometimes that actually happens with spiritual things as well. Not just the everyday things, but things when it comes to Jesus and how we live things out. Merging the 11 o'clock service with the 4:15. We don't know exactly what's going to happen. Now, we've thought about it. We've prayed about it. We've talked to people about it. But then there comes a point where we just need to give it a go and leave the outcome to God. It's sometimes what we need to do as a church. It's what we need to do as individual Christians. It's no good waiting for everything to be perfect, to just look at the clouds and the wind and not actually do anything. No. Get involved in ministry. Start a friendship. Start a conversation with a neighbor, a colleague, a school mum. Invite somebody over for lunch. Invite someone for mission week. See what God does with it. Sometimes we just need to give it a go. Be bold in an uncertain world and just trust in God. That's the first thing that we see in Ecclesiastes. The second thing we see is to remember God before it's too late. Remember God before it's too late. Chapter 11, verse 8. You who are young, be happy while you are young, and let your heart give you joy in the days of your youth. Again, the teacher's being positive here. Enjoy your youth. Now, I don't think that is excluding the rest of us. You know, if we don't consider ourselves young, I don't think at that point we're supposed to switch off. But there is something about youth where they're vibrant. And I think he's actually saying this so that they can get their direction in life worked out now. And that'll actually set them up for the future. Work out your direction while you are young. Verse 7. Life is sweet, and it pleases the eye to see the sun. Ecclesiastes, it does have happy things to say. There are good times in life. There are times when things just seem right. Enjoy them. Enjoy them. If you are young and filled with energy and strength and optimism, enjoy it. But don't let that be an excuse to rush headlong into hedonism. Don't make that an excuse to just chase after every pleasure and self-fulfillment and self-indulgence. Did you see verse 9? Follow the ways of your heart and whatever your eyes see. In other words, enjoy life. But know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. Enjoy your life. Enjoy your youth. But don't get caught up in it. Don't think that that's all that there is. I can do whatever I want. I am invincible. I'm the boss. What does he say in chapter 12, verse 1? He says, remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come. Remember God, turn to God, while you still can. Now, here's why I think that the teacher is not just talking to the people who are in high school or primary school. Here's why I think he's actually talking to all of us. Because in verses 1 to 5, the teacher here describes the aging process. Did you notice that as Daniel was reading it out? It's actually a bit of a poem. He's being poetic, describing what it's like to get older. In verse 2, before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars grow dark, and the clouds return after the rain. He's talking about the troubles in age. It's like the clouds are coming. The lights are getting darker. Verse 3, the keepers tremble because of age. They're getting older. The grinders cease because they're few. It's a picture of our teeth. The teeth are few and they're actually, it's hard to grind nowadays. In verse 3, the windows grow dim. They're the eyes. In verse 4, the doors are closed. It's the ears. The people rise up at the sounds of birds. It's hard to stay asleep, but their songs are faint. The birds wake us up, but we can't quite make out the melody. It's the challenge of age. And the teacher is saying, make sure you remember your Creator while you still can, in the days of your youth, before it's too late. Verse 6, remember him before the silver cord is severed and the golden bowl is broken and you go back into the ground and you just become dust. So whether you are 13 years old or 35 years old or 95 years old, turn to God while you still can, before it's too late. Because it is tragic to have life, to have this gift from God, and then to live that life as if there is no God. To have a nice girlfriend or boyfriend, to have looks and abilities and gift, all those great things about youth. Or to have a nice house, a nice car, a job, a family. And when our spirit goes back to God and we give an account to God, we say to God, I forgot. I meant to get round to it. I meant to live for you. But I got caught up with all those other things. That is a tragedy, to come before God unprepared. Remember God before it's too late. And if you haven't turned to God, if you are living for something else, do it now. Let me know if that's you, if you're feeling God's call, that actually you've been living the wrong direction. Maybe you've been coming to church for a while. Talk to me afterwards. Send me an email. It is too important to just kick this decision down the track. Remember God while you still can. Be bold. And that brings us to our last point this morning. The answer to the question, why are we here? What is life about? It's about living rightly to God. Living rightly. Pick it up in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 9. These are the last six verses that we didn't read out. Take a look. Let me read it out right now in terms of what the writer of Ecclesiastes has been driving us to all of this time. Chapter 12, verse 9. Not only was the teacher wise, but he also imparted knowledge to the people. He pondered and searched out and set in order many proverbs. The teacher searched to find just the right words, and what he wrote was upright and true. Verse 11, the words of the wise are like goads. If you don't know what a goad is, it's basically a pointy stick to get the animals moving. The words of the wise are supposed to get us moving so that we don't just sit there, but we take action. They're collected sayings like firmly embedded nails given by one shepherd. Be warned, my son, of adding of anything in addition to them. Of making many books, there is no end, and much study wearies the body. Verse 12 is a great one for students. But I don't think he's actually talking about studying exams make you tired. They do make you tired. But what I actually think he's saying is we've gotten to the end of the book. And so don't knock yourself out trying to read all the philosophies in the world. What you need is right here. Don't go chasing after book after book. You have the answer. What is life all about? Well, verse 13, here is the conclusion. After the whole book of Ecclesiastes, as the teacher has been bringing us down and shaking us a little bit loose, here's the climax. Here's what it's all about. Now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil. Fear God, keep his commandments. Do you see why God has made us? What life is all about? It's to relate to God in the right way. And the way that we relate to God is to fear him. Now, that does not mean being terrified. There's another Hebrew word for terror. That's not what it's talking about. To fear God is to treat God as God, to honor him in the way that only he deserves. It's to relate to God in the proper way, where he will judge us. To fear God is to enjoy him properly. It reminds us when we went to the zoo recently with Zach, and we saw these dangerous animals. Now, if I had no fear, I'd just walk in the cage and give them a pat and get my arm bitten off. But if I have the proper respect and I actually see them from a distance, I can respect them, I can enjoy them. We need to respect God and to revere him. And the great news is that does not have to be at a distance. But we do need to realize he is God and we are not. Life under the sun. That's the idea of life as if God did not speak. If we didn't have God's word, life under the sun is meaningless. But the great news is we do have God's word. God has spoken. Verse 13, keep his commands. He's told us how to live. God has spoken through Moses. He's spoken through the prophets. And in the last days, he's spoken by his son through Jesus. Remember when Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment? He said, love the Lord your God with everything you've got. And love your neighbor as yourself. He tells us how to live. And how we live, it matters. Chapter 12, verse 14. God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it's good or evil. Now, friends, what that means is that we matter to God. And everything that we do matters to God. Even the small things, the hidden things, the things that no one else can see, everything that we do and say and think, it matters. And it's going to be revealed on Judgment Day. Your boss might be saying to you, the only thing that matters this week is to meet this deadline, to get the project done. But actually, it's not. The only thing that really matters this week is fearing God and keeping his commandments. Maybe it's an exam or an assessment. Maybe there's things in this week that's just occupying your time and you're working out, how am I going to get everything done? The thing that is really important is fearing God and keeping his commandments. Maybe that'll help us work out our priorities. What are the things that we really need to get done? Maybe you've got a quiet week. Nothing seems to be happening. It's in the small things, the unseen things, that we get to please God, even now in this life. That quote that I mentioned beforehand, he who dies with the most toys wins. That was a quote by Malcolm Forbes. Forbes magazine was named after him. He's the one that started it. Malcolm Forbes was a very rich man. He was kind of an eccentric man in some ways. He had scores of motorcycles. He had a collection of motorcycles. He would pay over $1 million for a Fabergé egg. He had 12 of them. He owned castles, hot air balloons, a Boeing 727, all sorts of toys. But he who dies with the most toys still dies. And Ecclesiastes says, meaningless, meaningless. That kind of life is meaningless. It doesn't last. The surprise at the end of Ecclesiastes is that life actually is not meaningless. Because of Jesus, because of judgment, everything that we do matters. Even the small things. Life is full of meaning. Life is not meaningless. Life is meaningful. The time we spend praying when no one is watching, that matters. The money that I give to church instead of just using it for myself, that matters. The times that I put church and growth group above work and study or just wanting to have a night off, that matters. How I use my time, not just serving once in a blue moon, but giving Jesus the best, that matters. Saying no to temptation, how I treat my husband, my wife, inviting people to church, inviting people over, all that matters. And it will be revealed when we're standing in front of Jesus on Judgment Day, the good and the bad. Now, we are saved by grace, absolutely. It's not our performance that saves us. The death and resurrection of Jesus, that's what saves us. It's grace. But grace changes and shapes how we live. So as we wrap up Ecclesiastes, as we wrap up our series, what is the meaning of life? What is the meaning of your life? Chapter 12, verse 13. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind. And friends, they are great words to live by. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word to us. We thank you for the way that we've been able to work our way through Ecclesiastes, how it encourages us, how it challenges us. And we pray, Lord, that we'll be people who hear your voice and respond in obedience. Help us to work out what is the meaning of life. We pray that you put the right thing in front of us, and we pray, Lord, that we grab hold of it. In this next week, over the next years, whatever years you've given us, we pray, Lord, that we live for that which lasts forever. Help us to live a life that is full of meaning as we live for Jesus. And we pray this in his name. Amen.